Now, let's come to 1 John, the second chapter, and let's see the warning that John gave. And this was some few years, we don't know how many, before he was given the vision of the book of Revelation. Okay? 1 John 2 and verse 15. Now, as you read and study the New Testament, think about this for a minute. How the scriptures, inspired by the Spirit of God, have so much meaning to us today, though they were written over 1900 years ago. Okay? Think of that. And there are more manuscripts and copies of the New Testament in Greek than there are of the classics of who wrote
Plato
and Socrates and so forth. There are just one or two or three manuscripts. That's it. So every time you read the Bible, think about that. Every time it has a connection to your mind in meaning something, then realize that this is God's word to us. Now, verse 15. Here is the first defense. Do not love the world. Now, that's how Satan has got everybody involved. And they don't realize it, but that through the holy days, we worship God, and through the holidays, they worship Satan. And it starts out with the celebration of demonism and Satan with Halloween. Then it comes up with something fun and happy and good and all of this for Christmas. And people are locked into it. Oh, yes, they talk about the birth of Jesus, but do they know what it really means? No. They also all know it wasn't at the time that they say. But that's okay. It's fun and we all do it. Lockstep with the world. That's loving the world. Do not love the world nor the things that are in the world, in particularly today. Now think about this. How many things do we have today? I mean, just, you know, so many things, it's unreal. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay? So therefore, with the holidays of this world, it is impossible to love God. Now, you may think that you are, because you're having a good time. But a good time and pleasure does not mean equal to godly love. That's the love of this world. Okay? And besides, can you build something for God by starting on a satanic lie? Think of that for a minute. Can you build the truth of God on the foundation of a lie? No. The only foundation is Christ, the true Christ. There's a false Christ. There's a false Christianity, see? And it's all based on loving the world, because here's what takes place. And you take verses 15 and 16 and 17, and I've been doing this lately, watching the ads. Except for a few medicine disclaimers, that what you take may make you insane, give you suicidal thoughts, cause you heart attacks, make your blood so thin you'll die, and whatever it may be, see, but it's good for you. Watch the one on Cantex. Have you seen the one on Cantex? Everything is set to instill something into your mind. Okay? Here she is. What a wonderful thing will overcome smoking. So she is reading. Okay? And she's smiling. Okay, right? Isn't that true? And then she is Latino. Who, what are they aiming to? What audience? And it's a woman. See, all of these things are important in these ads. Look for the messages in the ads based upon all of these things. Okay? So, she's happy she's overcoming smoking. And then put the mute on, and read the warning. Okay? Then the ad is done, and she stands up to walk away, and she's got this silly smile on her face. And everything is so happy. So I said to myself, see if you can find an ad that says, I'm unhappy, I'm miserable, I'm rotten. You aren't going to. Everything is happy, 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 happy. Happy, 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 happy. See? Everything is good. Everything is smiles. Everything is wonderful. Drive this car for zero down. You know, have this refrigerator, get this food, get this snack, go to school here, do this, do that, do the other thing. All appealing to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Yeah. Okay, comment was made concerning the ad with Monsanto and all the genetically modified food. Oh, it's so wonderful and good and happy and good. We're improving the world and feeding the starving world and all of this sort of thing. But it's going to kill you, and that's what we want to do. No, they don't say that. Yes, and then they have to give a disclaimer, and they have the rat-a-tat-tat-tat speaker at the end, give it so fast you don't know what it says. They say nothing about robbing the farmers. Of course they wouldn't do that. Sure. Now, we've had a good discussion about many different ads, and they are all geared to one thing, to be able to bring out the most blatant lies, to be accepted as normal, and what a good thing is being done by the person or by the company or by the government or whatever it is. Okay? So, and it's all based on this. See? Now notice verse 16. Because everything that is in the world, if you don't view it God's way, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pretentious pride of physical life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world and its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Now notice verse 18. Okay, he gives the warning. Little children, it is the last time. Now that's a direct statement for their age, and a prophecy for our age. See, because the Word of God can have layered meanings and prophecies in it that are just absolutely mind-blowing. See, so this is a statement of then and a prophecy for us. And just as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. They heard. Even now, many Antichrists have risen up, by which you know that it is the last time. And that's how, after John died, everything within 50 years was changed. Everything. Hurlbut writes the book. He said, with the death of Paul and John, we struggle vainly to see through the fog of history. We have no writings. He says, we don't have anything from Apollos. We don't have anything from Timothy. We don't know what went on. And then after the death of John and the 50 years, the veil rises and we have a church that is totally different from the one that the apostles established. And so that's where we are today, you see. And most of the world doesn't know it. Okay? Now notice, verse 19, they went out from among us, but they were not of us, because if they were up with us, if they were of us, they would have remained with us. Nevertheless, they left that it might be exposed to show that they were all not of us. Now, a warning, and a King James has a very bad translation of this, because it says, it says, you know all things. See, not true. Not true. The only all things you can know are all the basics for salvation. You cannot know all things. And a lot of people say, Well, if I've received the gift of the Holy Spirit and have spoken in tongues and have had the baptism by fire, I have anointing from God, and that's all I need. I don't need anything else. Has nothing to do with what it's saying here, see. Verse 20, but you have the anointing from the Holy One. That's the Holy Spirit. And you have knowledge of all things pertaining to salvation. So that's why I clarified it with that phrase there, pertaining to salvation. We don't have all knowledge of all things, only those things pertaining to salvation. And I did not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and you understand that not one lie comes of the truth. Who is the liar, if it is not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist and the one who denies the Father and denies the Son. So we have that. It's amazing. It's amazing what happened here. So now let's come to, now all of these things that we're covering here, let's come to Revelation 13. And the more we study the Word of God, the more that we see things that are going on, the more that we understand how things are going to be as God leads us to understand it. How many have heard the saying, from the top down, bottom up, and inside out? Have you heard that saying? Okay. That's a favorite political saying today. We do it from the top down, the bottom up, and inside out. Okay? Now, that tells perfectly what's going on and the way that Satan gets his deception in. He works through the top, the leaders, in religion, in economics, in government. He works with the bottom, through the people, through the things that he's established there. And then he changes it all and mixes it all up. That's why we have all of these crises, to keep people on edge so they can bring about more change, more change, more change. Now, one thing to remember, crisis in English is spelled C-I-R-I-S. In Greek, the word is spelled with a K, K-I-R-I-S, and means judgment. So whenever we have these major crises, it's a judgment from God, and showing the activity of Satan to establish the kingdom at the end. Now, so let's come here to Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood on the sand of the sea. Now, what does the sea represent? Waters represents peoples, multitudes, nations, languages, sea, all the sand of the sea, etc. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, that's an unusual beast, isn't it? Okay. So here's, we have the bottom, which is the sand of the sea, the people. We have a form of government rising up out, and it looks like it's from the grassroots. Sound a little bit like the explanation of what's going on in the Middle East. Okay. But it's an amalgamation. Seven heads and ten horns. See, out of that will come one leader. But right now, what they are seeing is this. Just like with the world currency, they thought that they could have the regional currencies first, but that failed with the euro. So now they're working toward the time when they can bring in a world currency. And I've given many different sermons on that. All right? This is going to be a complete satanic world. And the way that they're going to do it is the same way that Satan has operated in the past. They talk about world governance rather than world government. The distinction is this. They are not going to abolish the nations in regions. They're going to have trading zones, but not get rid of the nations. That's too big of a job. So they will have an amalgamated association, just like it says here. See? And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Okay? That's from Greece. Feet like the feet of a bear. That's Persia. Mouth the mouth of a lion. That's Babylon. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. So there we have. That's why we have the amalgamation of the nations coming together, and it is called the United Nations. Now, they're working out ways to gain more and more and more control. And the biggest thorn in their flesh is America. Now, how that works out, we'll have to see. But we can know this for sure. In America is the last place on earth that the gospel is going out in truth. Not going out of any other nation in the world. No, and I saw one of his heads. Then it comes to the person. As if it were slain to death, but his deadly wound was healed. Now we can look at two things here. Number one, a person. Number two, the system. And now they're beginning to understand. And as I was watching a history of the fall of the Third Reich and saw the way that Germany was demolished and that all of Europe because it controlled it, see, I looked at that and I said, could that be the deadly wound of the system? Now, the reason I did is because what is coming up now, they're beginning to understand, is not communism. Communism is where government owns the means of production and the land and everybody. Okay? It is fascism, which is Nazism, rediscovered in a new cloak. Okay? Which then is, you've heard the term crony capitalism? The corporations keep their own power, but they also get great assistance from the state, and the state and the corporations work together, so forth. Okay? So that's what we are seeing. How many heard on the different talk shows and maybe on some of the television interviews that what they're looking at now and saying, well, the model for us to follow is the Chinese model. Did you hear that? Now, the Chinese are no longer communist. They are Nazis. Dictatorship, but corporations making money and money going to the state and controlling it together, planning it together, see. So this is what is also happening in Russia. Putin is not a communist, he's a KGB, but they are styling their economy after the Nazis. All right? Now, come back to Revelation 17 and we'll read a verse here, a couple of verses. Because Revelation 17 shows us the joint efforts of the beast, which is the government, and the church, which is the woman. All right, let's pick it up here in verse 7. Then the angel said to me, why are you amazed? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, if you want to follow along in the chart, we have that in the back of the book in the appendices, okay? So maybe we are looking at a revival of the Nazi system, not just in Europe, but in the whole world. What are they trying to do in America? Same thing. Now notice, which has the carrier, which had 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, but is about to come up out of the abyss and go into perdition. And those who dwell on the earth, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast that was, but is not, and yet is. Here is a mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are seven kings, five are fallen and one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he has come, it is ordained that he remain a little while. Now, is this one here, five are fallen, one is and one is not, and one is to come? But notice what it says in verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, he is also the eighth, but is from, and the Greek there is ek, out from the seven and goes into perdition. And I looked at the destruction of Germany and everything, that, and that was European-wide. And I thought, maybe this is what it's talking about if everything is coming back to the Nazi formation. It's of the seventh, but it is the eighth. And eight is a number of a new beginning, and with a world government, governance brought together like this. Okay, so there are a lot of things that are going to happen. But come back here to Revelation 13, because the thing that's important to understand is everything that is coming down in the future is going to impact us in everything we do. Okay, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, but the deadly wound was healed. Okay, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. Now, here in the book of Revelation, we always have all nations, the whole earth, etc., etc. Okay? Once they get this system in order, they're going to all wonder. This is going to be an amazing thing that's going to take place. So we have the system revived. Now also, do we have its leader then die and come back to life? Because, see, there's more than one fulfillment in this. But here is the world we'll be in. So if you think it's tough now, think about this. And they worship the dragon. No halfway in between. If you're halfway in between, you can't serve two masters. Right? That's right. You'll either love one and hate the other. But if you have your foot in the world and you still love the world, guess which way you're going to go? Unless you repent and go God's way. Okay? They worship the dragon. How do they do that? Through all the holidays of this world. Through the religions of this world. And that's how people are controlled. Correct? And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who has power to make war against him? So you have the person. There will be a final person as well as a final world governance association of nations with authority. And isn't that what they say of the United Nations? It's lacking authority. Well, what if they gave it authority? See? And I've said through the years there has to be a reorganization of the United Nations. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Oh, all the people of the world, we've come to an agreement and now we have reorganized the United Nations. We're not going to have a world government where you lose your national identity. We'll all be part of the reformed United Nations. And by the way, when the League of Nations failed, they gave, after the war, all the property to the United Nations, and we're going to move our headquarters over there. Where is that? In Switzerland, in Europe. See how convenient that would be? Think how people would say, well, that's a wonderful idea. Okay? Yes, yes, yes. That's a good place to be. And all the bankers are there. Okay, every January, they have the meeting of the super elite, the super rich, political bankers, corporate leaders in Davos, Switzerland. So if you're online, look up Davos, Switzerland, and you will find all of the super elite there together. oh, we're just here to exchange ideas and have a nice time together. No, they're planning how they can control the world. Mm-hmm. See? And take it without anyone knowing it. See? Okay? Who is one of the leading persons that always speaks at the Devo thing? And by the way, Uncle Ben Bernanke goes there too. Okay? Who's the one you always hear of? George Soros. There you go. The one who's perhaps more single-handedly responsible for the demise of the United States through incremental sinning and terrible policies. And some people even think having something to do with rigging elections. Okay? Going on, see? So there are a lot of things going on. There is more to life than going on than just living day to day. That's why it's important that everybody get right with God, because it's going to come. Okay? Now notice in the person. Now here comes the one that fills in with 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. And he was given power to make war against the saints. So we might as well be prepared. It's going to come. And to overcome them. And he was given authority. So here it's going to come together as an association of nations. And then there's going to be an assassination attempt. He's going to survive it. Satan is going to possess him. And then he is given authority over the whole world. That's right in the middle of the last week of Daniel prophecy, 70th week. Okay? Okay. Many other prophecies we can put together. But what we have to understand is what is coming down, so that we're prepared. We can't be dilly-dallying around and just, you know, half asleep at the switch. Notice, he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. Then it talks about the false prophet and his miracles. Combined together. Think what that would do. Think. With all of the worldwide communications we have today. I mean, if you get bitten by a mosquito at the farthest end of Australia, if it makes news, it'll go around the world. Instantly. But think what it's going to do. If there is a pope, and he's anxious to bring all the religions together, and they will. So since we're doing a little speculating here, I'll do a little speculating. But what happens when you have a false prophecy? Look at Harold Camping. He said the world's going to end in May. Nope. Well, I was mistaken. It's going to end in October. Whoop. No, it's not going to end there. So the Mayans come up and say, yeah, it's going to end December 21st. Whoop, didn't happen. By the way, watch World History Channel over this weekend, if you can, because they showed another aspect of the Mayan civilization. They had child sacrifice. And they had these big sinkholes that have water in them, and they threw the children in there to the rain gods. And now they're sending divers down there and they're finding the skulls of these poor children who have been sacrificed, you see. And God destroyed that civilization because of that. So what do you think God is going to do to us because of abortion? That's the number one thing that God is holding us accountable for right now. Other high days, okay. Comment was made concerning other child sacrifices today, which are on the dark side, that is, in the satanic organizations that are where the power elite associate as well. And you couple that with the number of disappearing children that are never found, where do they go, and so forth. By the way, in the book of Cold Holidays, God's Holy Days, I have quite a section there concerning the days of human sacrifice. That's why that book was written, see. And that book needs to be read, because if anyone is having any problem of getting your foot out of the world, you've got one foot in the church and one in the world, you need to be convinced where you need to go, and you need to read that book and understand what is in there and get your foot out of the world and start walking to God. See? All right, so we have that. All right? Now, let's see what we need to do. Okay. Let's come back to the little epistle of 2 John, because this tells us how we need to react toward God and the things going on in the world. Little epistle of 2 John. Now, you see, the thing that we all need more than anything else is the truth of God and the Spirit of truth. And we're going to find that there are a lot of people. Let me just say this. There was a high-ranking, quote-unquote, minister in one of the large churches of God who recently gave a sermon back in the Midwest, and it was a funeral sermon. And in this church, they've been having a lot of turmoil and splits and ups and downs here lately. And so he was the guy right at the top. And he was giving this funeral presentation. And right in the middle of the funeral presentation, he stopped and said, "You know, today it's awfully hard to know who is converted and who isn't." Whew. That tells you an awful lot about the condition of the churches of God. And so I know people don't like to be beaten over the head with Laodiceanism, but hey, folks, that is true. But with repentance, that's what God wants. And here gives us what we need to do. Now, this is written in such a way. Let's begin right here in verse 1. The elder to the chosen lady and her children. So this is encryptively written to the whole church, okay? As well as to a congregation, whom I love in truth, and not I alone, but also all those who have known the truth. Now, I want you to circle truth as we go along. It's twice there, just in that first verse. We need the truth of God. We can't be bringing the doctrines and methods of Christianity of this world into the church and mixing error with truth and thinking that we're doing well. For the sake of the truth, there it is, number 3, that is dwelling in us. Now, the truth that is in us is what? Number 1, the Word of God. Number 2, the Spirit of truth. Number 3, Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And number 4, God the Father. Okay? All dwelling in us. That is dwelling in us. And shall be with us forever. That's the whole basis for eternal life. So this is quite a way to start out this epistle, especially in the middle of the time when there was a great turmoil and Antichrist in the church. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth, number 4, and love. See, now with this, with love, then we have the love of God, we have the love of neighbor, we have the love of brethren, we have the love of our enemies. All together, see. So when we put this together, the Word of God just magnifies itself in such a way, it's incredible. Verse 4, I rejoiced exceedingly that I have found among your children those who are walking in the truth. Number 5, the way of life. Walking in the truth, exactly as we receive commandment from the Father, and that is obviously through Christ, because Jesus said, I do not do anything of my own. I don't speak my own words. What the Father commanded me to do, I do. What I see the Father do, that's what I do. What he told me to speak, that's what I speak. Verse 5. Now I beseech you, lady, not as though I'm writing a new commandment to you, but that which we have observed from the beginning, that we love one another. So there's love number 2. Okay. And this is the love of God, number 3. So notice, truth, love, that we walk according to his commandments. See, not the way we think. This is the commandment exactly as you heard from the beginning, that you might walk in it. Now, all of this tells us what we need to be doing, but all of this is expanded in the rest of the New Testament as well. Now notice verse 7. Because many deceivers have entered into the world. Boy, and that's what we have today. See? Remember the dual fulfillment, the end of the apostolic age and the end of the age before Christ returns. Have entered into the world. Those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the spirit of the deceiver and the Antichrist. So it is a doctrinal separation. But notice, it is the spirit of the Antichrist, and that ties right in with Ephesians 2:1. See? And 2, the prince of the power of the air. So Satan comes along and he has his missiles he throws out. Have you ever gone along someplace and all of a sudden you wonder, well, why did this thought come into my mind? Okay. Well, Satan's got him throwing them around, right? Yeah. I remember occasions where I'd be driving along to go visit brother and then bang, here comes a thought just like that. And I thought, where did that come from? My mind was on something totally different. And then, bang! See? And so, I had to begin to understand at that time that even though the thought came, that was not within me, that was sent there by Satan to distract me. See? So that's a great part of it. So he says there, verse 8, watch out for yourselves in order that you may not lose the things that we have accomplished, but that we may receive a full reward. And all those warnings are there. Boy, and today, you talk about the cool generation, you know, that you can just lay back and relax and all of that sort of thing. Verse 9, anyone who transgresses. Now notice, this is very important when you ask the question, what should I do? And how do I know what to do? Anyone who transgresses, which is going against the laws and commandments of God, going against the teachings of Jesus Christ, going against the writings of the apostles, and does not continue in the doctrine of Christ. Now notice, does not have God. But the one who continues in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now doctrine is teaching. Teaching then applies to all of the things that Jesus taught and said. Now if you want a good study of that, we have a Harmony of the Gospels we'll send you. Now notice what else he says. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house and do not say to him, welcome. Now, how bad were things getting? See, because you can't coexist with evil. See? That's why Jesus said to the Laodiceans, I would you were hot or cold. For anyone who says welcome to him is partaking of his evil works, because you're agreeing with sin. You're agreeing with lawlessness. And what did Jesus say would be the hallmark of our day-to-day? because lawlessness will be multiplied. Multiplied. It's like you take a penny, double the amount every day, and at the end of a month, you'll have over $1 million. That's multiplying. And that's just the way it is in the world, multiplying. Now notice how bad it was. Verse 12, I have many things to write, but I do not wish to convey these things to you with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak to you face to face in order that our joy might be completely full. The children of your chosen sister salute you. Amen. So I guess this was a good way to get the message through without getting it intercepted by someone else. Okay? But just notice how that applies to us today. Now, think of this. The New Testament and the Word of God are so inspired. If we could say it's like a sphere, you can have an infinite number of lines go through a sphere and an infinite number of directions, and every time they meet, there is an agreement with the truth of God. So if we can understand that with the truth of God and apply it in our lives, then we'll be able to get through the times that are ahead of us. So that's where we are today. We'll find out in a few years down the road where we are tomorrow. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.